You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from Meadowbrook Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, with Pastor Keith Miller.
You can turn the lights up a little more. If you, let's stand, and instead of me just reading the passage, let's read it together, the 23rd Psalm. Each week during this series, we're just going to, because it's so short, it's only six verses long, we're gonna read the 23rd Psalm together, and by May you'll have this chapter memorized, right? So the words will be on the screen. I'm reading from the New American Standard. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd; I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord of the 23rd Psalm to do the thing that needs to be done in our lives. And so, I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know how crazy it's been. I don't know what anxieties you've had to face, but we're going to pray. And we at Meadowbrook, we want to take prayer seriously as a church, and we just don't want it to be that weird thing we tack on in the service, but that it becomes a part of the culture of Meadowbrook. And so we're going to pray, and just in the quietness of your heart, you can pray whatever posture you want to choose. You can pray. You can pray with the person sitting next to you if you want. You can pray out loud. It's up to you. But just pray and ask God to do the thing that you need him to do in your life, and expect him to. You know, what I mean by that is pray over parking spots. He's our Heavenly Father. It doesn't mean that he's going to give you every parking spot. But what it means is that he loves you. He loves you. And so he wants what's good for you more than you know. And so let's go to him expecting that. So let's just pray, and I'll close our time in prayer. You, O Lord, Yahweh, are our shepherd. Because you are our shepherd, we are not in need. Everything that we need is in you. You are the God who speaks into existence that thing that does not exist. You speak it into existence. You did that with the galaxies. You did that with the solar system. You did that with this planet, Earth. You formed man from the dust of the earth. God, you are God. And we come before you. We come in your presence. We ask that you will do the thing that needs to be done in each and every one of our lives. Those in this room and those watching the live stream, God, have your way with us. Do what needs to be done. Show us what it means to have you lead us to green pastures. Show us what it means to have you bring us to waters of rest. God, we just ask that you would do that in our lives, and that you will restore our souls, Lord, that the thing that's necessary to turn us around and to shape us and to mold us, God, that you will do that. And use these moments that we have before us as we sit under your word, that you will do the thing that has to happen in our lives through the authority of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know what comes to mind when you think of green pastures, but we're in that part of the 23rd Psalm. He leads me, or he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. That's really what we're looking at today. I don't know what comes to mind because you know, newsflash, Wyoming's not really known for green pastures and, you know, billowy trees, right? So I don't know. I looked up Wyoming and looked for the place that is known for the most fertile soil, and Goshen County, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and Wyoming was the place that came up. So there you go. That's Goshen County. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Yes, good. Awesome. And that's actually sheep. And so maybe you think of that. For me, I think of the thing that comes to mind is North Jersey. So there's the northern part of Jersey, and there's the southern part. I grew up in the southern part. We consider those two separate states. And so very different cultures. My brother has affectionately referred to the very far southern part of New Jersey as the armpit of America. And I agree with him. I can say that. I grew up there. But the northern part of New Jersey is green. It's nice. I participated in several cycling events in North Jersey, and so that's what I think of when I think, like, immediately, if you mention green pastures, that's what I think of. That's the northern part of New Jersey. But what David had in mind was not that. What you need to think of is when David mentions green pastures, he's thinking of think of dry, undeveloped, hilly, rocky regions. That's Israel. That's where David shepherded. And so, just so you know, if you grew up in a family that had sheep as part of its, you know, as part of your property, it was the youngest son that served as the shepherd of the sheep. This is why David was a shepherd. And so for him to write the 23rd Psalm, he was writing out of a lot of experience when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. But think of rocks. Think of, you know, places where it would be hard to find grass. And for the shepherd to find grass, or for the shepherd to find the place where sheep can lay down, or where they can graze, or where they would eat, he knew the places where they needed to go, and sometimes he had to go a decent distance in order to find it. The sheep were absolutely dependent upon the shepherd for them to find the kind of food that they needed. And so it makes sense when Jesus said, if one of the sheep leave the 99, that the shepherd would leave the 99 who are all together to go retrieve that lamb. It makes sense, because if a lamb runs off, or a sheep runs off and gets lost, he's probably going to starve. He's not going to know where to find water. He's not going to know where to find food. He's dependent upon the shepherd to find that for him. And so that's the 23rd Psalm. So I'm sorry if that ruins maybe a coffee mug that you have in your cupboard of, like, this lamb laying in, you know, green pastures and Psalm 23 written on it, or a t-shirt, or some cover on your devotional or whatever. But it's a hard place. It's a hard place. And here's the cool thing about verse 2, is that the shepherd leads the sheep to the place where they can have just enough. And he will make sure that their needs are met. And that's the 23rd Psalm. And that's why it's for you and it's for me. It's for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. There's something else I want to show you, is that the way the Psalm is broken down, this is why we're going to spend the next, you know, 5 weeks in the 23rd Psalm, is that there are these images in the 23rd Psalm that in each week we'll address each image. But the first image, which is today, the abundant life, that's verses 2 through 3, the first part of verse 3. And then the second image is the secure life, that's next week. The third image is the hard life. Now, here's the cool thing about this. I'm not creative enough to just, you know, put all this together. I blame the Lord on this. But the hard life is Resurrection Sunday. We're going to be looking at that. That's the verse that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're gonna look at that on Resurrection Sunday. And then the victorious life, a couple weeks after that, and then the everlasting life will be the last sermon in the series. But there are these five images in the 23rd Psalm that relate to the Christian life, that relate to our life and union with the Good Shepherd, who is the Lord of the 23rd Psalm. And so I have 2 points, and really they're in the form of 2 questions, because we could read verses 2 and the very first part of verse 3 and think or assume, and it would be understandable to assume that when it says that he lets me lie down in green pastures, when it says that he leads me beside quiet waters, when it says that he restores my soul, that what he has for his people is a life that doesn't include suffering, is a life that is easier. And there are teachers out there, there are pastors out there that will tell you that a passage, like a chapter out of the Psalms, like the 23rd Psalm, teaches us that God doesn't want suffering in your life. Well, that is absolutely false. And anybody who would tell you that suffering is not included in the Christian life is a liar, and especially somebody who claims to read the Bible. And so I have 2 questions. The first is this, is what is the way to the abundant life? So what does it mean to have the abundant life? Because it is describing the abundant life here. So what does that mean? What does that mean? And then we'll look at the way to have the abundant life. Like that will be the second point. But what is the way to the abundant life? There are 4 things that sheep need to be freed from in order for them to lay down. And here are the 4 things, and I'm just summarizing them. They need to be free of fear. That's the one thing. Secondly, they need to be free of friction, so they're not like all super close to one another. They need to be free of flies or parasites. And then fourthly, they need to be free of hunger. And so this is why they're so dependent upon the shepherd. The shepherd's able to guide them to a place where they have no need to fear, where there's space for them, where they're free of pests, you know, parasites and flies, and where they can be fed. And so those are the 4 things. This is why the shepherd is so important. And in these first 2 verses, or first 2.5 verses, the Lord is my shepherd. We talked about that last week. If you missed last week, I'd invite you to go check it out on our website. Check out the sermon on our website. But the Lord, Yahweh is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. And we looked, as we unpacked that last week, Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd. So Jesus is the Lord of the 23rd Psalm. And the way that we know that we belong to him is found in the very second line, I will not be in need, meaning I cannot go without him. I do not want to go without him. I can't get enough of him. I want him 24/7. I want him in my life. I want the Lord of the 23rd Psalm in my life. I need him. And so that was last week. And in verse 2, he lets me lay down in green pastures. How many of you have like the ESV or some other version of the Bible that uses the word what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's an interesting word. So in the NASB, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. All of these things the shepherd is doing in my life. The shepherd is doing in your life. And depending on the version of Bible that you're using, you have the word make. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, here's why I don't like that word. I don't like the way that was translated in the English Standard Version. In the older version of the New American Standard, they translated as makes, because it sounds like he's manipulating the sheep. How many of you own a dog? How many own a dog in this room? Okay. you can't make a cat lay down, but a dog you can. A dog you can make them lie down, right? If a dog's just, you tell that dog, lay down, and you can tell them to stay if they're trained well. That's not what's being talked about here. What David is getting at here is that because of the shepherd, I am able to lay down. All the stuff that's in the way, he removes because he's my shepherd. So a better translation in the Hebrew, actually literally the Hebrew is that he causes me to lay down. It's very different than he makes me lay down. He causes me to lay down. And here's the thing about that. It says that he causes me to lay down. It's not a past tense thing. It's not a present. It's not just a present tense thing. It's an ongoing thing. He, because of his role in my life, his involvement in my life, he causes me to lay down. Because I have him as my shepherd, I am able to lay down. And if I didn't have him, I would not be able to lay down. That's the point that's being made here. And so why does this matter? Why does this matter? Because he's the good shepherd. He gives me what I need. And look, like not everything that he allows into our life are things that are welcome. Right? How many of you love pain? Anybody? How many of you love disease? Any takers? Right? Nobody. No, we don't want this. Like, we don't want to suffer. We don't want our bodies to break down. One of the more dangerous prayers to pray, but I think it's a good prayer. Like, I really believe it's a good prayer to pray, is the prayer that, oh, Lord, whatever you need to do in my life, do it to draw me closer to you. And have you ever prayed that prayer before? I did when I was a young adult. It was in my first apartment. I was laying there. I was 19 years old. And I said, Lord, whatever you need to do in my life, do it. Just do it. I want to know you more. I want to experience more intimacy with you. I want to grow in you. And you know what happened? He did exactly what was needed in my life to produce that in my life. I don't even know what it was called, like a type of vertigo. I was always dizzy. I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, that's what happened after my prayer. I would be in my bed, literally, it would feel like my room was spinning. Like, I thought something was physically wrong with me. I didn't have health insurance. I went to the ER to get a CAT scan. It took me forever to pay that off. Like, there are a lot of things that were going on in my life. But you want to know what it was producing in me? A dependence upon him. A dependence upon him that I had not experienced before. Because up to that point, I was in good health. I was young. Oh, I felt somewhat invincible. 19 years old, living on my own. Things seemed like they were going okay. But he did that in my life. And sometimes for him to remove the things that need to be removed in our lives so that he's able to cause us to lay down, sometimes that involves suffering. Sometimes that involves pain. Sometimes that involves you being in a place of utter desperation where the only direction you have to look is up for him to provide. And that's in the 23rd Psalm here. So he causes me to lie down in green pastures. And he, not only that, he guides me or he leads me beside quiet waters. And the Hebrew word for quiet waters there literally means waters of rest. That he leads me to waters of rest. So where are the waters of rest? Where the waters are, there is life. Where the waters are, there's everything that I need. And I'm able to rest in him. And there are other psalms in the Bible, like, be still and know that I am the Lord. That's from one of the psalms in the Bible. And there are many other places in the Bible that point to that. And then the very first part of verse 3, he restores my soul. Literally the Hebrew word means to turn back. So he turns back my soul. He retrieves me and he leads me in the direction that I need to be. It's a picture of repentance. This is why you've heard me say a whole bunch of times, God, wherever he has found you, he loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. This is the point of the 23rd Psalm. And let me say it this way. The place of green pastures, the place of where the waters of rest can be found, the place where your soul can be restored, is the place for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see how the 23rd Psalm is for those whose shepherd is the Lord? It's not for the person who ignores the Lord. It's not for the person who has run away from the Lord. It's for the person who belongs to the Lord. This is why it makes little sense for the person who has run away from God all their lives and has died to have on their memorial card the 23rd Psalm. It's not for that person. The 23rd Psalm is for every single person in this room and watching the live stream who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when the hard stuff comes, the 23rd Psalm has some things to teach you. He is the shepherd who will not abandon you. I came across the story of a bunch of shepherds were responsible for shepherding hundreds of sheep. And I think it was, I think this took place, this happened in 2009, I believe, or 2006, I forget. But it happened in Turkey, where the shepherds decided they were going to leave their sheep and have breakfast. And while they were eating breakfast, I guess one of the, I guess the sheep were close to or found their way close to a cliff. There was a 50-foot drop, and one of the sheep, from what I read, walked off, and about 400 of them followed, and they all died. Whoever owned the sheep, because I doubt the shepherds owned them, and whoever owned the sheep was pretty angry. It was a $73,000 bill of what was lost. Jesus doesn't do that to his own. He doesn't abandon us. There's never a moment where God says, whoops. There's never a moment where Jesus, I didn't catch that, wasn't aware of that. He is the Lord. And in him we can find our every need, and he lets me, or he causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters of rest, and he turns back my soul. He turns back my soul. It's for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Lord of the 23rd Psalm is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And isn't that what the Lord, isn't that what Jesus said, the Good Shepherd? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Matthew 11, verse 28. Let's read this together. Ready? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Well, how do we find the rest that we need? We have to come to him, right? We come to the Good Shepherd, and he will lead us to the place that we need. Let's go to the next slide. In John chapter 6, verse 35, let's read this together. Ready? I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. So coming to him, what will be the result? Your hunger will be satisfied, and your thirst will be quenched. In him is everything that we need. In John chapter 10, verse 10, which I quoted last week, the thief, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they would have what? Life. And have it to what degree? Abundantly. Think about what that means. Not just life, but abundantly. Like more than you could ever even need, you're going to experience in Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. You come to him, you find in him the reality that he is the Good Shepherd of the 23rd Psalm, and you will find life, but you will also find it to be in abundance, which leads to this point. The 23rd Psalm, according to the 23rd Psalm, the Christian life begins with rest. It begins with rest. It begins with resting in him. This is the point that Jesus was making, in John chapter 10 and John chapter 15 and so many other passages in the Bible, Matthew chapter 11. In Jesus we find rest. That's where it begins in terms of the Christian life, which leads me to my next point in the form of a question. What kind of abundant life does a shepherd provide? Because does the abundant life mean that I'll have the pain-free life, that I'll experience a pain-free life? And most of you in here, probably all of you in here are like, of course it doesn't. But man, that teaching is rampant throughout the world. That come to Jesus and your bank account will be filled, your pain will be removed, your disease will be cured, all those things. And the reality is, no. You probably won't experience any of those things. Maybe if the Lord wills, he may heal you. But he does, or he allows stuff in your life, and he does what he does for your good and for his glory. So John chapter 6, so Jesus is just fed like thousands of people with some kid's lunch, like some fish and some bread, and he fed that, and the people were just, they were blown away by it. They were like, wow, this is amazing. And crowds, wanted to follow Jesus and just see the next miracle. They wanted to experience the next miracle. And Jesus said to them, he said, look, you're here because you had your bellies filled, but what you really need is you need the bread that is from heaven. You need something much more than physical bread. And so he said to them, he said, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And the people heard that, and they're like, this is crazy talk. Like, what do you mean, Jesus? And he goes on. He said, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And the key word is remains, that person remains in him. Now, was Jesus saying, you know, you eat his physical flesh, or was this something that he was saying about, like, was he trying to teach us something about communion, that when we take bread or when we take the cup, that it physically becomes the physical body of Christ or the physical blood of Christ? No, not at all. The point is, if you take into yourself, into your person, if you fellowship with me and you take into your person my teaching, you know, my life, when you find your life in me, like that's what it means to remain in me. And if you do that, that's, you will discover eternal life. It's no different than what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. The poor in spirit, who are they? Those are the people who come with empty hands. They have nothing to bring. They can't fix themselves. They recognize that, and so they come to Jesus Christ to find their hunger, their hungry soul satisfied. And then those who mourn over their sin, you know, they recognize their sin for what it is. And those who are willing to lay down their pride, like in the 23rd Psalm, you see the Beatitudes all there. How do you get to the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm? Through the Beatitudes. You know, for recognizing who you are and what you need. Being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. You know, the Greek word for remain is the word meno. And I think a better translation of that, or a word that I like, that I prefer more than remain, is the word abide. And some of you have that in your translation, abide. You know, in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus made the statement. He said, look, my Father is the vine dresser. He goes and he prunes the dead branches. The branches that aren't bearing fruit, he prunes. Now, what does that mean? He cuts. Well, what does that mean? He has to wound the vine for the branches to produce fruit. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains, or the one who abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So your life is dependent upon the good shepherd. Like your spiritual life is dependent upon him. This is why the Christian life is not just about facts that you believe in your head. The Christian life is resting in Jesus. What does that require? It requires depending upon him. You're not working for your salvation. You just find your salvation in Jesus. Yeah, there's nobody else that can save your soul but him. And there's especially me. Like we are helpless. We need him. And so if the abundant life is the pain-free life, then why would he use an illustration that the Father comes along and he prunes the branches? Have any of you ever experienced the pruning work of God in your life? Yes, there are a bunch of you in this room. Maybe some of you never even recognized it, but it can be painful. You know, when I shared this last week, you know, so Nathan preached his second sermon today, and I haven't talked to him yet, but his prayer was, Lord, whatever you need to do in my life, you know, do it. Like, whatever you need to teach me on this trip, teach me. And then not long after that, he was told, you're going to preach on Sunday. He's like, well, that's not what I, you know, that wasn't what he was praying for. And so why did God allow that in Nathan's life? Why does he allow the things in our lives that he allows? Because he loves us too much to leave us as we are. And sometimes, friends, sometimes that is a thorn in the flesh that will never go away. That is a disease that will never be healed. That is a wound from your past that will never fully heal. And that's okay. And here's the thing. Everything that happened, all the things that happen in our lives, the things that are difficult, the suffering, the disease, the pain, whatever it is, not all of that comes because you did something wrong. And it's not all there and present in your life because the Father is some angry God who's disciplining you. It's the thing that's necessary in your life. to produce in you the kind of thing that he wants to produce in you. Suffering is the fire that God applies to our lives to burn away the, or to burn the dross, or to remove the dross from the metal of our soul, so that what's left is something much more pure and much more beautiful. So we look more like Jesus than when we first met him. Jesus said, in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. You'll have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. You recognize the tense there? Like, in the world you will what? Present tense, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have what? Past tense, I have overcome the world. Even though I have overcome the world, you know what that means? You're still going to have trouble. You're still going to encounter things that are going to be really difficult. There are going to be things in your life that you will try to, you will plead with God to remove from your life, and he will say to you, in, you know, through his word, through the scripture, he'll say no. And you'll hear the voice of the Father through pages like 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My power is perfected in your weakness. And so that's a hard passage. Well, I like the New Living Translation version better because it kind of gets at the heart of what Jesus was saying. You can hear the emotion behind it. Let's read this together. Ready? Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Meaning, there's a shelf life to your trials. There's a shelf life to your sorrows. And the permanent thing, and the reason why we know there's a shelf life to that, because what Jesus accomplished was permanent. He overcame the world. And so one day, he will remove every tear that stains our eyes. He said to his disciples, he said this in Luke 21. He said, you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, and sisters, other relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all people because of my name. And yet, not a hair on your head will perish. Like, the world will throw all of its fire at you, all of its vengeance, all of its hate at you because of your association with me, but not a hair on your head will perish. If the abundant life that we're promised in the 23rd Psalm meant that it did not include suffering, then what do you do with Luke chapter 21? What do you say to the fathers, the children, the relatives of the 70 Christians from the Congo who on February 13th were pulled from their homes at 4 in the morning by a group connected to ISIS, who in the name of Allah, of Islam, got these 70 Christians together, held them captive. They took them to a Protestant church. I'm not sure exactly how far from the village that they were taken from. They were put into that Protestant church where they were slaughtered with machetes and hammers. And then when people discovered their bodies, every single one of their heads were removed. Where are their green pastures? Where are their quiet waters? Where is the restoration of their soul in that experience, in that horrible nightmare of an experience? If you have a Bible, I want to show you something that I believe will help make more sense of the 23rd Psalm and what is meant by green pastures, waters of rest, and the restoration of one's soul. So it's Revelation chapter 6. I want to show this to you. So if you have a Bible, great. If you don't, Revelation's at the end of the Bible. You can use one of the Bibles under the chair, or you can use your digital device. I'm not going to have the words on the screen. I just want you to see something that I found very fascinating. So Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, it's describing, as you're turning there, it's describing these Christians who were martyred for their faith. So which means that included in this group that being described in verses 9 through verse 11 of chapter 6 are the 70 martyred Christians from the Congo who died this past February. And not just them, by the way. It is estimated that since Christmas of 2024, this past Christmas, up until present day, there have been nearly 300 Christians from the Congo who have been martyred for their faith. And not just in the Congo, there's stuff happening all in those surrounding countries and also in the world. But here's verse 9. When the Lamb, who is the Lamb? Jesus, right? When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been killed because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they had maintained. What is the altar? So here's how I just want to paint this picture for you. In heaven, see, the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build was a model of what's in heaven. And there's an altar in heaven where they would pour out the drink, they would pour the drink offering as part of their worship. And where these martyred Christians are would be where the place where the drink offering would be poured. And so this is what's being described. And so they cried out with a loud voice. So they're not just this like a casual conversation. They cried out with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who live on the earth?" It's a legitimate question. God is a just God. What has been done to these Christians is unjust. The scales of justice needs to be balanced at some point. And they're asking, how long? When will that happen? And verse 11, and a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told that they were to rest for a little while longer, listen to this, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who were to be killed, even as they had been killed, was completed. So what's happening in chapter 6 of Revelation is they're pleading, how long? God's answer to them is until your number is complete. God's answer was not, whoops, I missed something. His answer was not, oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I did a better job at governing the universe. It was none of that. It was the sovereign king's response to the suffering of his people. I will make this right when the number has been complete of those who have suffered in my name and who've given their lives because of the testimony of their faith and their love of my word. That's a question that I have found myself asking. How long? How long until a cure is found for narcolepsy? How long? How long for this, or how long for that, oh Lord? And then you come to chapter 7. This is where I'm bringing it together. Come to chapter 7. So if you're looking in your Bible, you want to like camp in verse 9 of chapter 7. This is rich. Like, this is good. Speaking of the martyred Christians, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. There's a lot of them. And the multitude that no one could count are martyred Christians, like our brothers and sisters whose heads were removed from their bodies in February. A great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. So they're celebrating. They're celebrating, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." They're triumphant. They're celebrating. There's victory here in their words. And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. And all God's people said, in heaven and on earth, amen, right? So they're celebrating. They're celebrating. And why are they celebrating? Well, we're told in verse 13. And one of the elders responded, saying to me, These who are clothed in white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? This is a rhetorical question. And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. Now, don't think for a second that he's describing 7 years of suffering Christians here. He's talking about Christians who have surrendered and given and died for their faith from Pentecost all the way up until when Jesus comes again. Included in that is this great time of trouble. And he says, so he said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread, listen to this, he will spread his tabernacle over them. What is it saying? That the Lord, Yahweh, of the 23rd Psalm will overshadow them. That's taken from other psalms in the Bible. He will protect them. He will overshadow them. They have everything that they need. And then verse 16. Before I read this, against the backdrop of verses 16 and 17, think the 23rd Psalm. They will no longer hunger nor thirst, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. Why? Because they are in green pastures. They are by waters of rest. Well, where are the green pastures? Where are the waters of rest? Verse 17, for the Lamb is in the center of the throne, will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and their God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do you see it? Do you see the 23rd Psalm there? You know what the green pastures are? You want to know what the waters of rest are? It's Jesus. That's where we find green pastures. That's where we find waters of rest. And what the world may bring, what you may suffer, whatever disease you may be diagnosed with, whatever comes your way on this side of eternity, it's okay. They may remove your head, but not a hair on your head will perish, because you have the Lamb who is your shepherd. That's the point. That's the point of the 23rd Psalm. That's the point of Revelation chapter 7. What makes heaven heaven is that we get Jesus. That's what makes heaven heaven, not your relatives that are there, not a pain-free life, not eternity, not any of those things. What makes heaven heaven is Jesus. It's Jesus. And with him, we get green pastures. With him, we get waters of rest. With him, we get the restoration of our soul. With him, our hunger and thirst for righteousness is completely and fully satisfied. That's what we get with Jesus. And so the reason why these Christians and every other Christian in heaven no longer hungers and thirsts is because they are in the presence of the Lamb who is their shepherd. So here are some questions for you, and we'll have the worship team come up. Here are some questions that I just want you to think about. Who is the Lamb of God to you? Who is he? Is he your shepherd? Is he the one that you can't get enough of? Is Jesus your shepherd? Or if Jesus is your shepherd, then in what ways are you abiding in him? The Christian life, is this Psalm 23 thing, it's not a past tense thing. It is an ongoing thing. It's something that's continuing to happen in your life. You never, listen, on this side of eternity, you will never get to a place where you've peaked in your spiritual maturity. It is ongoing. And so some of you were very frustrated. My guess is that if you think hard enough, you're probably all frustrated about something in your life that's not where you would like it to be spiritually. And that's to be expected. There are areas in your life that you have not surrendered to the Lord. There are areas of your life that you have not yielded to Him. There are areas in your life that you're not resting in Him, or that you're not abiding in Him. And what are those areas? And what's keeping you from handing it over to Him? What's keeping you from surrendering that part of your life to Him? He is the good shepherd. We're the ones who make a mess of our lives. He's the one that will lead us to waters of rest. And then the third question is, how can you expect to experience the kinds of green pastures and quiet waters promised in the 23rd Psalm if you're not going to Jesus to satisfy the kind of hunger and thirst that only He can satisfy you with? So go to Him. Go to Him. Find your rest in Him. Yeah, he loves you too much to leave you the way He found you. We're going to sing a song together. And the words, I mean, this song, this is one of those older songs. It's a hymn that has stood the test of time for a reason, for good reason. When we sing it, think of the words that you're singing. And the question for you, if you're not a Christian yet, is why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? And if you are a Christian, what is it that you're holding back from Him that He's saying, hey, if you just give this to me, give it to me, and trust me, I want what's best for your life. I want what's best for your life. I want to do in you the thing that needs to be done for your good and for the glory of your Father in heaven. So those are my questions for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the thing that you're doing in our lives. You are so good. You're so good to us. You are the Lord of the 23rd Psalm. And for every single one of us in this room who's placed our faith and trust in the Good Shepherd, that psalm is a gift from you, God, to us. For anyone in this room, Lord, that doesn't yet know you, I just pray that they would hear these words. The words of our Savior who said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That if you abide in me, you will find life and life to the full. God, we thank you so much for the 23rd Psalm. Thank you that you've brought us into your fold. Thank you that you've made us your own. And when you see us, you see not just a treasure, but you see a daughter, you see a son, you see your children. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Meadowbrook Church Podcast. For more information about our church, visit meadowbrook.org.